next guest speaker, well, not a guest speaker, the man of my host. Host. Eddie Morrison.
First of all, before I say anything, Jerry's asked. Jerry Robinson is in touch with. Put you back on. A lady from the Caucasus, well, the Crimea, isn't it? And okay. she's wanted a little message read out. And she's called Olga Lyapadzhuskaya. She lives in Kerch, Crimea. I would like to thank all those in the United Kingdom on behalf of the Crimea and Mother Russia who have not been taken in by the BBC and other media outlets in your country. We voted unanimously for Crimea to be part of the Russian Federation. So, you know. I haven't got a shirt and tie on. I have to apologise because my uniform's at the cleaners. It's a long way to Berlin.
You have to see Mr. Boss.
Yeah, I was hoping for more people today, but we've got quality without any doubt, you know, even me. Just a quick little story about an aeroplane flying over Europe doing London to Bucharest, and one of the engines goes, and the pilot says, "I'm sorry," he says, "but we're going to have to unload some weight off of this aircraft," he says, "just to get us to the destination," he says. "And to be fair, we'll do it by nationality. We'll start off at A." So, is there any Argentines on? He's thrown out by the stewards. Any Austrians? He's thrown out by the stewards. And there's a black guy and his little son. And he's saying, "Dad, B. I says, "No, son, we ain't blacks today. We is Zulus." Yeah, what I wanted to say, but more than anything about, is John Tyndall. A lot of people don't realise how physically brave John Tyndall was, and I was a close friend of John in the last years, especially when we were in the Spirit Group. I'm proud to say that I was one of a very select body that John called by their first names, and you know, I could stay with him when I wanted. But John was physically very brave. The first time I ever met him was with the headquarters in the National Front, when me and Andrew were about the only two members in Yorkshire nearly. And I was in Palace Chambers, where I used to go down on my holidays and help them out. And I was sat with Martin Webster. Always an experience. And there was a banging on the door. And he says, go see to the door and see who that is, Eddie. So I opened the door and there's this very respectable looking bloke there, and he says, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm Eddie Morrison." He says, Eddie? It's Edmund. Oh, he said, "That's a marvellous Anglo-Saxon name." So I thought, great, who's this guy? He says, "I'm John Tyndall." I sort of lived on that for the next 2 years. John Tyndall said, "I've got a marvellous Anglo-Saxon name."
Yes.
And over the years, yeah, I had my fallouts with John as a searchlight of kept a record of. But I saw many occasions when John's physical bravery came to the fore. At one meeting in Leeds when the Reds invaded and they were storming towards the stage, John just jumped up. The stewards were overpowered. There was about 50 Reds came in. John took his coat off with his belt and braces on underneath, and just laid in the Reds and knocked the first one out completely. And another time we were in a public meeting in Rochdale in support of Ken Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a public meeting in support of an electoral candidate. And the left, they allowed 20 Reds in. You can do that according to election law.
Yes, correct.
20 members of the public, but they were all Reds. And they were causing the most, you know, Nazis. And John's trying to speak and Ken Henderson's trying to speak. And our stewards weren't doing very much about it. So John just walked to the back, grabbed hold of one of the Reds by the scruff of his hair, like that, and said, "Out the door." So the police were there. He says, "Either you throw them out, for this police officer. And he says, "Oh, we'll throw them out. There won't be much left of them." It's quite loudly. And the end of that meeting, the Reds were still on. It was in a schoolyard. I remember the Reds were all on the railings, and John and I were the last two out. We were making for a coach that was going to get us out of Rochdale. And now I was standing at this side of John. I thought, if there are any missiles, at least let me, not John. You know, he's a bit more important than me. He said, "Eddie, why are you so close to me?" Like, I said, "Well, John, it's you know, there's a lot of Reds there. I'm just your bodyguard." He says, "I don't need a bodyguard, Eddie," he says, and he walks right up to the railings and punched one of these Reds right. He just didn't give a monkey's at all. And another time, this was quite frightening, in York on Remembrance Sunday, we were going to have a Remembrance Day for the BMP, this would have been BMP in the 90s, and the Banders. So the idea was myself, George Shillitoe, or some of you remember George Shillitoe, and John Sindel would meet in York, we'd go to York, we all went in a car together, in John's car, park up, take pictures of George as, in his ex-serviceman's gear, laying wreaths, and we could say we'd done something. It could go in Spearhead then, right? And then John had arranged with some journalists in Betty's Cafe, one of his favourite places, to, he liked cream cakes and tea, like another guy. He was going to meet all these journalists and give an interview. So we got there, we laid the wreath, we took the pictures, that was okay. And he says, "Can you check out on Betty's Cafe, make sure it's safe, secure?" And I got up there, and on every doorway there were anti-Nazi League or Socialist Worker Party. It's the 90s, it had been SWP, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And there were in every doorway, all the way along, dozens and dozens of communists, anti-fascists. And they didn't spot me. I was sort of in mufti with all the cameras on me. So I turned round. I thought, this is a trap, he's going to get butchered here, like. So I turn around and I walk down the street, and John and George are coming up, sort of chatting, and I'm saying, get back. He says, "What's the problem, Eddie?" He says, "There's like 200 Reds waiting for you up there, John." Now, he wasn't that brave that he was going to say, "Well, we'll still keep going." He didn't. He had some common sense as well, a lot of it. He turned around and says, "Okay, let's get out of here." But remember, it's Remembrance Sunday. So we got past York Minster, and the 11th hour struck. 2 minutes silence. And we're only a few yards away from John's car, and Freedom, and the Reds are really close by this point. John insists on standing for 2 minutes. Well, he's 2 minutes silence, quite rightly, for the dead of both world wars. But as the 2 minutes went, more and more communists come around us. We were just a complete ring of them around us. And I said, "John, let's go now. Forget the 2 minutes." Oh. And he stood for them 2 minutes and he didn't blink. Yeah. I was absolutely having kittens. So there were no ladies here, I'll tell you what I was really having. But we got that. He says, "Right, we'll go for the car. You're in my way." And again, he just punched his head straight in the face and he went on, straight on the floor. I got eye-wired in with a couple as well. But we got to the car. They tried to block the car off. So John just reversed his car into their van. Bang. And he said, "I'll do it on the insurance." So an incredible, brave bloke. When he got attacked in London, you probably, a lot of you have seen a picture, it's reproduced in the Left of Magazines, where he's streaming blood down his head, but I think about 2000, I mean, in the late 90s, yeah, because they had that idiot kid that did the bombings and that.
Copeland.
Yeah, Copeland was in the picture, so they keep reproducing this. When he got attacked by those Reds, he didn't run. A lot of the NF had moved on to the meeting room, the BMP moved on to the meeting room, but John stood and fought. As did Val, actually.
Yes, that day.
You know about this kid, he stood and fought until the police waded in and stopped it all. And then 3 or 4 years later, when I was attacked, 2005, by the Antifa, still got 36 stitches in my head, He phoned me up at night. He said, "I've heard you've been attacked, Teddy." I said, "Yeah, covered in blood and all that." He says, "Well, don't wash it off. Keep that. Put it in an hanger." He says, "Because that's what I've done with the shirt that I got that day." Mm. And every time you think you're not fighting against something right, look at that shirt. Because that blood was given in the fight. So, John Tyndall was a great man. He was a great politician. But more than anything else, he was a great fighter for what we believe in. And it's great that we remember him today. Thank you.
Listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.